This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of June 16th, 2019. Welcome. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support The Breaker. On this edition, the Is It Just Me commentary, headlines from the Pacific Rim and Pacific Northwest, the Big Deal feature. The best team in basketball is from Canada. The Toronto Raptors are NBA champions for 2019. Vancouver's Howard Kelsey ponders the legacy of the June 13th win. The Boys of Summer are back at Nat Bailey Stadium. We'll hear from Vancouver Canadiens' new manager, Casey Kandel. And hear me ask Federal Liberal Organized Crime Reduction Minister Bill Blair some pointed questions. And I will award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a difference maker. Now, is it just me? Is it just me, or is it silly season in civic politics in British Columbia? Ben Isett, the communist-sympathizing Victoria City Councillor, still thinks he was standing up for taxpayers. He gained national media attention for trying to shovel $15,000 of costs to the federal government for the capital city's Remembrance Day ceremony because he said it was a military event. He offered a half-hearted apology only because the original vote was on the 75th anniversary of D-Day. Isett continued to blame conservatives and the media instead of himself. Then there's Doug McCallum, the Trump-style mayor of Surrey. He got elected last year and switched Surrey's next transit project from light rail to SkyTrain, adding another billion to the costs. He wants to switch from the RCMP to a municipal police force, and that'll cost 11% more per year. Now he is musing about building a canal, a wandering, meandering canal, after seeing one at a shopping mall during a visit to Qatar. And at Vancouver City Hall, they were busy in the communications department polishing the turd. More than 2,200 people were counted in March as being homeless, a record since the annual point-in-time count began back in 2005. The best they could do is say that growth of homelessness is slowing. It's a sad statistic that Mayor Kennedy Stewart inherited from Gregor Robertson, the Vision Vancouver leader who came to power as mayor in 2008 with a promise to end street homelessness by 2015. Well, it's now 2019. What do you think? Email Bob at thebreaker.news. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim. In the Japan Times, Ryusei Takahashi reports, demonstrators in Tokyo show support for Hong Kong protests over extradition bill. Hundreds of demonstrators gathered in front of the Hong Kong Economic and Trade Office in Tokyo's Chiyoda Ward on June 13th to show support for those in Hong Kong speaking out against a controversial extradition bill that has sparked street protests that have turned violent. The organizers said more than 300 people joined the rally in Tokyo. In ABC News Australia, Georgie Burgess reports, polar night falls on Antarctica's Davis Station, but expeditioners keep bright outlook. The 18 expeditioners at Antarctica's Davis Station have farewelled the sun and won't see it again for 5 weeks. When the sun reappears on July 11th, it will be visible for just 49 minutes, with an astronomical twilight for the rest of the day. Temperatures drop to minus 38 degrees Celsius, but the expeditioners' spirits are lifted by dazzling auroras, as well as dinners and dress-up parties. In the South China Morning Post, Zhuang Pingwei reports, Chinese airport warns passengers throwing coins at planes will harm prayers for safe trip. An airport on tropical Hainan Island has become the first in China to put up a notice warning passengers not to throw coins at planes to pray for a safe trip after numerous such incidents have delayed flights across the country. The first case was reported in 2017 when an 80-year-old woman threw a handful of coins into the engine of a China Southern Airlines flight at Shanghai Pudong Airport to pray for safety, delaying the flight for more than 5 hours. Police decided not to take action against the elderly passenger after taking into account her age and the fact she had not intended to cause any harm. So far this year, at least 5 people have thrown coins at planes as they were boarding, delaying their flights for hours, and in some cases, landing them in detention. Shenzhen Airlines took action in one case, suing a man who threw 2 coins at a plane engine as he was boarding a flight from Nanning to Shenyang in 2017. The man agreed to pay the airline more than $7,000 US to settle the case in March. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines from around the Pacific Northwest. In the Oregonian, Andrew Thien reports, Portland now has e-scooters with seats and bigger tires. The Bureau of Transportation on June 14th announced it approved permits for 2 companies, Razor and Shared, to operate seated e-scooter fleets in Portland. The seated devices are the first so far in Portland, but at least one of the companies has fleets in 8 other cities. The scooters are also an option for able-bodied riders who would rather sit than stand. The scooters have larger wheels and wider tires, according to a city statement. Riders must obey the same regulations in place for other devices, including a 15-mile-per-hour maximum speed and helmet and sidewalk laws. In the Bellingham Herald, Kia Relier reports, search warrants served on 6 Bellingham businesses suspected of promoting prostitution. Investigators served search warrants on 6 massage parlors in the city that were allegedly involved in prostitution, Bellingham police announced June 13th. They are Imperial Spa, Golden Foot Massage Parlor, Cheerful Healthy Massage, Rub Hub Body and Foot Spa, Oriental Chinese Foot Spa, and Lu's Foot and Spa. Investigators used surveillance and covert contacts with the businesses to gather enough evidence for search warrants, according to police. And last week in the Breaker.News, these headlines. After Science World Summit, don't hold your breath for a federal ports police comeback. Feds drop bizarre tax case against Bazzi and Virk. And airline wants Vancouver International Airport to pay more than $2 million for engine repair. Read the stories behind the headlines in the Breaker.News. This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. Basketball history was made on June 13, 2019, as the Toronto Raptors captured the Larry O'Brien Trophy with a 114-110 win over the Golden State Warriors. They clinched the NBA Championship Series in Game 6 in Oakland, California, knocking off the defending champions. Mike Breen had the call for ESPN on ABC.
Leonard makes it official. Now the Warriors just inbound, and that's it. There's a new NBA champion, and it's a team from Toronto, Canada. We the North are now we the champions, the Raptors, the 2019 NBA champs.
Howard Kelsey was a member of Canada's Los Angeles 1984 Olympics basketball team, a veteran of the NCAA and Mexican Pro League. He is going to the Canadian Basketball Hall of Fame. He is the driving force behind the Vancouver Showcase NCAA preseason tournament, which returns this November at the Vancouver Convention Center. Kelsey is also organizer of Kids Fest, which includes the biggest beach basketball tournament on the west coast of Canada. That's coming in August. I sat down with Howard the day after the Raptors became the first NBA champion from Canada, the homeland of basketball's inventor, James Naismith.
Howard, what's it like for you to wake up and say that a Canadian team is now the NBA champion?
Fantastic. And actually, Bob, even if we hadn't have won, we've actually won as a country, because the wave of the frenzy that everybody's experiencing now on the streets began when they made the finals. So all these watch parties and all this interest in basketball actually began a couple of weeks ago. So obviously it's nice to have the title, and it's a huge privilege. You never know when they're going to get another one, so take it while you can. But the truth is, the country's already benefited in a huge way that we won't know all the benefits will manifest themselves in 10 or 20 years.
You didn't think that looking back at the 1990s when the Raptors were launched in Toronto and the Grizzlies were launched here in Vancouver, that we'd ever see this day. Those were rocky times for these two franchises, which had all the odds against them.
Yeah, the chances were slim that they'd both be able to stick. Unfortunately for Vancouver, we lost them. They went to Memphis, but Toronto was able to consolidate and keep it. But at the end of the day is we have a championship now, and also Team Canada is going to benefit for this as well. Because the rumor is out there that Nick Nurse is going to be confirmed soon for Team Canada. And you know the number of marquee names that are in the NBA now that will probably play for Canada this summer. And if they don't this summer, definitely next summer in Tokyo. So right now, this is a huge renaissance for Canadian basketball. And we're in what I would call the second golden age, because our era was the golden age. And we had in the Olympics, 76 fourth, 84 fourth, 88 sixth, and Steve Nash era's 2000, they were seventh. So it's time Canada gets back to the Olympics, and more importantly, it's time we get medals.
One of the biggest beneficiaries of the Raptors championship, the Canadian Elite Basketball League, which launched this summer. It includes the Fraser Valley Bandits, who play in Abbotsford.
Anything that's basketball-oriented now is on fire. So as you know, I've been in it for decades when it wasn't on fire. But now, anything to do with basketball, people are actually looking at us in a different lens than they did, which was 2 days ago. But I'm already having people approach me that weren't talking before. And basically, basketball is the flavor of the month, or the flavor of the year, or hopefully the flavor of the decade now. So we're getting to move, and I'm not putting us up against hockey, but we're definitely becoming a very popular sport in Canada. Hockey's our national game, but let's be honest, there weren't any Canadian teams in the NHL Stanley Cup Finals this year, so that helped us, and we're getting a perfect storm for basketball.
You know, back to the Grizzlies, of course, they left. There's always been talk, maybe Vancouver could get a team again. Mm-hmm. I mean, the market has changed. It's bigger, more diverse.
Yes.
There's more money here. I guess the biggest problem would be the money to buy a franchise. Franchise values are not cheap in the NBA, about $2 billion or so.
If you're looking
at the Clippers or the valuation for the Raptors.
Well, again, the question was actually posed to Adam Silver at his annual conference, first game of the series, by Michael Grange. And Adam Silver's position that day was, not now. We're staying with the 30 teams that we have. My personal guess is that, and I think it's fair, is that the Seattle Sonics deserve to return to Seattle first. And then I would think very quickly behind that, we're a natural dovetail because of our location. So we should be within the next 5 years, I would think.
So the Kits Fest will be the next big chance for Vancouverites to enjoy basketball, the beach basketball tournament in August. Tell people what to expect this year's edition.
Sure. The basketball part of Kits Fest, and we have different cultures in basketball, but street ball is basically where basketball was honed the skills. Rucker Park is the most famous in the world, but on the West Coast, Venice Beach and Kits Beach are the two most popular beach courts. So you'll be able to see some of the best street ballers, Joey Haywood being one of them, one of the best ball handlers you'll see anywhere in the world. We have Sunset Yoga with Lululemon. About 1,000 people come there on Friday night, 7:30. It's amazing. We have volleyball, 16 courts going, thanks to Urban Rec, Kits Beach Volleyball Association. We have the iconic bathtub races, which you went to last year for our launch to bring them back. We have water polo in the pool. We have tennis, thanks to Ryan Clark. So basically, Bob, it's a smorgasbord of sports and active living, healthy lifestyle. And it's the Venice Beach of Canada. We have a culture of healthy living people that like the California lifestyle on the Vancouver beaches.
And of course, we'll keep our ears open for the dates and the teams that will be coming to the Vancouver Showcase, the Vancouver Convention Center in November. A very successful tournament last year. As some of the best NCAA men's and women's teams came here to Vancouver to gear up for their season and the road to the Final Four.
We have them signed. I'm just waiting for Brooks Downing, our partner in Lexington, Kentucky, and the Vancouver Sport Hosting Partners to give a date. But safe to say, we need to let the frenzy of the Raptors and their parade next week bubble up. We need to let the Canada Basketball Team Canada head coach announcement. So I would think within about 2 weeks, we should be announcing the second version of the men's and women's Vancouver Showcase, which will be again at the Vancouver Convention Center. And that venue and all their staff, I got to thank Ken Cretney, I got to thank Anita, Adam, and all their team. They've done a fantastic job, and that venue is amazing.
That was Kits Fest and Vancouver Showcase promoter Howard Kelsey. On June 14th, the Toronto Blue Jays affiliate Vancouver Baseball Canadiens began their 19th season in the Single-A Northwest League with their 12th manager, Casey Kandel. The 57-year-old spent 9 years as a player in the big leagues with the Montreal Expos, Houston Astros, and Cleveland Indians. Last year, he managed the Dunedin Blue Jays in Florida after serving as the Seattle Mariners' first base coach in 2017. Kandel and his late Vancouver-born mother, Helen Callahan, are the only known mother-son duo in big league history. Helen Callahan was a star in the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League during World War II, which inspired the documentary by Casey's brother, Kelly Kandel, which was dramatized in Penny Marshall's 1992 Columbia Pictures feature film, A League of Their Own.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying! There's no crying in baseball!
Why don't you leave her alone, Jimmy?
Oh, you zip it, Doris!
Casey Kandel played against the Vancouver Canadiens of the Pacific Coast League during his two tours of duty through AAA with the Tucson Toros and Albuquerque Dukes. I caught up with him on June 12th, 2 days before the Northwest League season opened. What does he tell his players who are experiencing Nat Bailey Stadium for the first time?
I knew I couldn't hit balls out of this park when I played here, so I know it's a tough place to hit home runs, you know, and so concentrating on, you know, just getting good at bats and putting the barrel on the ball and seeing what can happen offensively. So, I mean, it's in great shape. Ross and the ground crew have done a wonderful job getting it ready, so we're excited. I do know, though, I just remember the ball does not fly here very well.
What do you know about the atmosphere in this?
Oh, it's awesome. It's tremendous. I came up here. I must admit, when I played here in AAA, there wasn't as many fans. I came up here with Spokane when I was with Texas, and it was amazing. Just very few minor league parks have the enthusiasm and the energy that generated from the fans here in Vancouver. So it was really cool.
You think that helps the players at all?
Oh, absolutely.
Like a sort of a miniature major league atmosphere?
Absolutely. Well, understand, like, most of these guys were in the Gulf Coast League last year, where nobody goes to watch the games. You know, been through spring training, nobody's there. Extended spring training, nobody's there. So, I mean, if you can't get excited with 6,000 people in the stands, you probably need to find something else to do. So, they'll be enthusiastic and they'll be fired up to be able to play in front of the fans here. I know that.
Dude, you've done a lot of things. Why this?
Oh, I just love the game. I love working with young players, trying to be an influence however I can with you know, their development and kind of getting them set up for professional baseball and what a grind it is. A lot of the college kids come in and they're not used to playing every day. So, you know, the staff here is, you know, capable of letting them know what to expect. And then I think it's just a great environment. Players eager to learn, wanting to get better, and I enjoy that.
That was Vancouver Canadiens manager Casey Kandel. The Trudeau Liberals decided in the final pre-election budget to pledge $200 million over the next 5 years for the battle against money laundering. The issue was forced onto the national stage by the media in British Columbia and then the provincial NDP government, which is going ahead with a public inquiry into how money laundering affected the real estate and casino industries in British Columbia. Attorney General David Eby and Finance Minister Carol James hosted Federal Finance Minister Bill Morneau and Organized Crime Minister Bill Blair at a June 13th summit at Science World in Vancouver. Morneau and Blair took questions from reporters afterward.
Bob Mackin, the Breaker.News, for Minister Blair. You just spoke a little while ago about closing vulnerabilities.
Yes.
And historically here in British Columbia, if you go back to the 1990s, when there was also a federal Liberal government and also a BC NDP government, the federal Liberal government at the time of John Chrétien closed the ports police. And the recent report by Peter German noted that that's a major vulnerability. It's been identified in other reports that there is no dedicated ports policing here, and the police in the urban domain are already under budget stress and personnel stress. If you look down the coast at Seattle-Tacoma, they have a fulsome police agency. This $10 million you're announcing today isn't going to bring back the ports police. Will you commit to bringing back the ports police?
What we will commit to is continuing to work to ensure the integrity of our borders. I will tell you that I've actually visited CBSA and watched and witnessed the very important work that they are doing at all of our ports, including the Port of Vancouver. I can also tell you that we're making significant new investments in CBSA and through the establishment of a new market fraud center of expertise for CBSA, significant new resources, because we recognize that ports of entry are significant vulnerabilities that need to be strengthened, and we're making those investments to maintain security at our borders and to ensure, and it's work that we do collaboratively with our provincial and municipal partners to ensure that areas are appropriately resourced for policing. It's part of the ongoing discussion that takes place between us.
You're taking action now at the end of your mandate. All the warning signs were there at the start of your mandate. What do you say to those who say that you're asleep at the wheel, that you're too soft on crime?
I
respect to the people of Canada who want questions answered from the politicians and have them held accountable. Please let Minister Blair answer.
Well, I think I can answer this fairly quickly. I'd urge you to take a look at the work that we've been doing since we came into office, the investments we made through four subsequent budgets, of restoring the capacity of CBSA, RCMP, and other federal agencies, both regulatory and law enforcement. You know, we saw very significant reductions in their staffing and funding during the period of time of the previous government, and we've been putting those resources back and restoring their capacity and their expertise to maintain the security and safety of our country. And I'd invite you to take a look at those previous budgets, as well as the very significant investment made in budget 2019. This has been an ongoing commitment and work by our government from the very first day we got into office.
That was Federal Liberal Border Security and Organized Crime Reduction Minister Bill Blair in response to my questions at a June 13th press conference in Vancouver. In Peter German's May 2019 Dirty Money Report for the BC government, German wrote this: Canadian ports, including Vancouver, Surrey, and Prince Rupert, do not have a dedicated police presence. Since the demise of the Ports Canada Police in 1997, it has been left to municipal police to patrol docks and ports. In this post-9/11 world, this is a serious gap in our law enforcement umbrella. The comparison to Seattle is stark, where the Port of Seattle Police Department has 150 staff to police SeaTac Airport and the seaport, including numerous specialized units. In addition, U.S. federal authorities are present at the ports, including Border Patrol, customs officers, and others.
I, Justin P.J. Trudeau.
No!
Sunny ways, my friends. Sunny ways.
You and your family do to cut back on plastics?
We have recently switched to drinking away from plastic towards paper, like drink box water bottles sort of things. There's a number.
I, Justin P.J. Trudeau. Sunny ways, my friends. Sunny ways.
The virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting. Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo Bar to a deserving person or organization that has made a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to the Toronto Raptors, the 2019 NBA champions who helped bring together a nation. The team from a hockey town that started in a baseball stadium. The team that started its training camp this season on the West Coast in Vancouver and ended by hoisting a trophy on the West Coast in Oakland, California. A roster from the U.S., Congo, England, Spain, St. Lucia, and Cameroon, put together by a president from Nigeria and kept together by a physiotherapist from Vancouver originally from Scotland. It was James Naismith, the Canadian son of Scottish immigrants, who invented basketball way back in 1891. Congratulations, Toronto. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of June 16th, 2019. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on June 16th in 1904, James Joyce's first date with his future wife, Nora Barnacle, inspired his novel, Ulysses, which was set on that date, 16th of June in 1904? Now you know. Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit thebreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. patreon.com/thebreakernews. Until next week.